Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
With the special student body elections for president and vice president only 2 days away.
Wait, Walter, hold on. I forgot to plug the mic in. Okay, let her rip.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode is Season 5, Episode 3, A Clean Slate. And now your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting. All right, I got some site business.
Good.
All right, just to remind everybody, if Stitcher is your favorite podcast app of all time, this podcast is now available on it. And I think that's pretty much it. Take it away.
Okay. Sarah had some site business also.
Oh,
I do. I have some scheduling issues. As you are listening to this podcast, it is Tuesday, the day after Labor Day. We are celebrating said holiday late by not laboring. So our next episode will be dropping next Monday, the 12th.
Correct. And as always, you can purchase an ad on this podcast. It's $50 for a personal message, $100 for a commercial message. You can write us copy. We can write you copy. We can come up with some kind of stupid nonsense. You've heard us do it in the past.
Oh, there's a new tier. $200.
Yes.
And the three of us belch for 3 minutes.
I wish I had that power.
$250, you can prevent us from belching for an entire week.
Mm.
All right, let's get into this motherfucker. Oh, God. All right. So let's start with our C story, in which Claire moves to the beach. Spoiler alert. So Donna comes into the kitchen. You can see in the visual aids. I'm going to try and describe it anyway. She's in like a pink satin. It's not like quite a baseball jacket because it's got like stripes down the sleeves, which are also cropped. It's cropped to just below her boobs. And she's in like a white pleated, looks like a tennis skirt. It's like all of the sports. It's pre-athleisure. It's 100% terrible. And
isn't there a hood also?
Maybe. She's not wearing it because she has stupid pointless barrettes holding back the wisps of the front of her face to try and give some shape to that fucking helmet she's got going. It's so bad. Please go to previously.tv and peep it in the visual aids if you dare. So she and her spectacularly terrible outfit come home to tell Kelly that she found them a new roommate. Donna has already shown her the apartment, and then they left and then came back because Donna has just brought this girl back to meet Kelly. And I know I keep harping on the efficiency with which people on the show travel around, but in Los Angeles, it is actually a consideration. Like, that wouldn't all happen the same day. It takes forever to get anywhere. God. Anyway. Donna says this girl knows Brandon. Kelly asks if they had a class together because, as we all know, Brandon only knows the gang. But Donna says that Brandon and this girl met on the task force, and Kelly's already walking out the door before it starts to dawn on her that it might be clip number 2.
Kelly?
Hello, Claire.
Oh, what a great coincidence.
You two already know each other?
Yeah, we were roommates on this lame retreat my father dragged me to.
Her father's the chancellor. I know that, Donna.
Wow, you have a great view from out here, Kel.
Well, I wouldn't get that attached to it if I were you.
Jeez.
Kelly, I'm sorry. Claire, I'm sure that you're going to make somebody a great roommate someday, but Brandon and I are a real couple now, and it would...
Kelly, I'm not interested in Brandon anymore.
Please.
All right, conceded. Like, the idea that anyone could get Brandon, get over Brandon is so preposterous. Fucking Kelly.
Yeah, we're beginning the descent into constant cat butt mouth in word and deed. So yeah.
Also, don't get too attached to it. Like, she might still come over if she's making friends with Donna. Fuck off. Anyway, Claire insists that she really is over Brandon and adds, clip number three.
If you want to know the truth, he was kind of lousy in bed.
How would you know, Claire? You never slept with him.
Exactly. That's what was so lousy about it.
Also, Kathleen Robertson, seriously.
But also, as we all know, and as Kelly probably could have confirmed, he's got to be terrible in bed. Like, he's got to be.
Yeah. 1.5 pump jump. Yeah, thanks.
Donna laughs at Claire's joke. Claire promises her father's checks will never bounce, and a convenient roommate situation is born, except, stuff alert, Claire snores. We're supposed to think that Donna is lying uncomfortably awake due to the noise and not that she's very obviously sleeping in a padded underwire bra, which you can see in the visual aids because I gift it so you can see the boning move as she breathes. Anyway, it's also in the visual aids. Kelly is also awake. Her hair, by the way, looks much cuter when it's slept on. Also in the visual aids. Donna and Kelly meet up in the hall to commiserate. There's more stuff. The next morning, Claire is chipper, but Donna and Kelly are exhausted. Kelly passive aggresses around for half the scene until Donna asks Claire about her snoring. Kelly actually recorded her on a tape recorder, and I just want to say that's extremely rude, and I know that from experience because Dave did that to me one time.
What?
You recorded me snoring.
Oh yeah, right.
You recorded me on your phone.
Well, for a reason, because you kind of didn't believe you snored.
Uh-huh.
And so I wanted to prove it to you that you were a prodigious snorer at times.
Mm-hmm. It was hurtful.
Well, but now you know, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Claire is mortified and offers to move. Donna just thinks they need to find her a cure, but Claire has tried everything. The only times she doesn't snore is when she's with a guy. And Donna, the virgin queen, apparently has no problem with the idea of just hooking Claire up with some rando for the sake of her own sleep. I probably wouldn't either, to be honest. Donna's solution, then, is to buy an inflatable man from an auto parts store that's supposed to be for women who don't want to look like they're driving alone at night. AKA to cheat the HOV lanes. However, it just looks like a guy inflatable doll from a sex store. And the idea is that if Claire sleeps with it, it will trick her snoring into thinking she's with the guy. None of this makes any sense. There's more stuff about how this inflatable balloon man is so much the perfect guy that they all fight over him. Stuff! The inflatable man works. The end. I can't believe they spent this much time on her snoring. Oh my God.
Yeah. Although, compared to how much time they spent on the A-plot, student government shenanigans, it's like, can we please return to the, you know, life and times of Harvey the inflatable guy.
Yeah. Well, moving on, we're not there yet. To our B story, Val plus Dylan. So Val goes through junk in the garage and finds a box marked Brenda's stuff. Apparently written by a PA with his or her wrong hand because it's scrawled like a crazy person. You can see the visual aids. It seems to be Brenda's breakup box, given that the first thing on top is an extremely fake framed photo of Dylan. The handwriting on this photo could not be more girly. Also, who signs their like snapshot, puts it in a frame, and gives it to someone? Like,
and didn't we see Brenda looking at the same photo and commenting on it at the end of season 4?
Maybe.
It was like, you gave your girlfriend your headshot in a 4x6 size and then you signed it like you're fucking Ernie Anastas at the diner. Settle down, sticko.
I think the reason that you're remembering that is because someone posted this picture in the thread for one of
that is probably right.
But yes, Ernie Anastos is the perfect example. I was like, you're not Ben Vereen, but that's cruel to Ben Vereen, who I believe is
totally Ben Vereen.
Anyway, this scene also kicks off a theme which will run through this season, I hope, which is Val's hair is perfect. It looks so good all the time. And it's also very versatile. Like, depending on where she parts it, it can look totally different. I might be a little bit in love with Val, you guys. Cindy comes in and finds her, which is the first we see of Val's jeans, which are unbuttoned. She's left open the top button for Buttonfly jeans. Sarah capped this one. It's in the visual aids with a helpful arrow so you can see she did not finish the job pants wise.
Yeah, like apparently the belly shirt was not actually belly enough,
right,
without unbuttoning the Thanksgiving button. Like,
yeah,
get a pair that fits. This is a successful show. I think you can probably shop around for some jean shorts.
I mean, I remember that as a style choice on TV, but I certainly don't think I ever knew anyone who did that in real life, like with their pants in the world.
No, me neither.
Anyway, Val claims that Brandon sent her out there in search for Brenda's notes from her fucking poetry class, which I'm sure are terrible. Then Val comes back in for dinner. Jim warns her about the spicy salsa, hilariously. Not sure how she does it, but while dishing up her rice with one hand, Val uses the other to open a can of worms. Ha ha ha. In clip number 4.
Have you guys ever heard of Jack McKay?
Why do you ask?
Well, no reason, really. A professor mentioned his name in a class of business and ethics I might be auditing.
Well, he was a textbook case, all right.
Jim?
Well, what do you want me to say? He made a fortune, lost his life when one of his partners planted a bomb under his car. In short, he was a crook.
It's terrible.
Was terrible. We got to know Jack at the end because Brenda used to go out with his son.
Wait, you mean Dylan McKay is related to Jack McKay?
You've met Dylan?
No, not really.
Good. Keep it that way.
Jim?
Well, I'm sorry, but that kid has given our family enough grief for a lifetime.
Sorry I brought it up.
That's okay. Just don't mention him again.
I won't. Promise.
He can't even be mentioned
in the house.
And
then she schemes for literally 20 minutes.
It's great. Sarah made a gift that's in the visual aids. Obvious schemer is obvious, indeed, is the file name. And but I just love Jim being such a drama queen about it. Like, don't even bring him up. Calm down. Like, people can have conversations about him. Good Lord.
No, I forbid it. In fact, maybe not even think about that.
All right. Then Brandon is in the bathroom putting on a hideous tie, the only kind he owns, when Val and her very versatile hairdo enter. She asks if he minds her skipping the debate, which we will get to. Unfortunately, he doesn't mind. He's not even going to be speaking. But he suggests that Steve will be disappointed not to see her. Val asks him to tell Steve that she needed to veg because it's the 90s. But that's not what actually is up, as we hear in clip number 5.
Unless the veg is a cucumber.
It's just, well, your dad got very stern with me last night when I accidentally mentioned the name Dylan McKay.
Ah, Dylan's kind of a sore subject around here. Dad used to be his financial advisor.
Dylan is rich?
Very rich. He owns some biotech company.
Wow.
He's in kind of a bad way these days. I mean, even Nat's tired of him. He says all he does is sleep all day and play pool all night.
Pool. Used to be my father's game.
Yeah, I remember.
Yes,
no,
Dave.
You don't.
I got a fanfic starter idea for all you crazy people still writing fanfic about TV from the 90s. Okay, so Dylan was into biotech. So here's your starter. Dylan's biotech company is responsible for all of TV's cyborgian and terrible things. So he is like the science and the company behind like Adam from Buffy. And stuff like that.
Okay, right.
And then, so you go from there, and then, like, Dylan has to slip in behind the scenes on Buffy the Vampire Slayer to, like, go in and, like, appraise his project's progress, tune things up, do some invoicing, stuff like that, and then slip out. There you go. That's it.
Is Dylan going to turn out to be the progenitor of Dorian from Almost Human?
Oh, my God!
Dorian from Almost Human! Did he also create the alternate universe on Fringe?
Guys, see? You scoffed at me when I started this, but it's taken its life on its own. This podcast is over. Let's now start Biotech McKay.
All right, back to Sarah's comment, which is, as if Brandon remembers anything about Val's dead dad. He barely remembers things about people who live in the house with him. He is
Yeah, also, Val just washed up to shore on a giant clamshell. It's fine. There is no backstory. There is only Zool. Let's get on with it.
Well, I mean, there's backstory about her dad because, you know,
right.
Stuff's going to come out. And, you know, he killed herself as Kelly decided to go ahead and put on blast for her. But I do like the detail that they at least add that as background for what happens next, which is Dylan is racking up balls just in time for Val to walk up behind him, flirtatiously offering a game because she's found the only pool hall in Los Angeles. She's all, I can figure out 9-ball if you give me pointers. And then clip number 6.
I just sunk the 9-ball. Is that bad?
Well, the game's over, but you won.
I won? Well, what did I win?
What do you want?
What do you got?
What do you need?
No patience for this.
And we'll work from there.
So at least they gave some reason for her to be good at pool other than she's a cool girl and that's a thing cool girls are good at.
Right, true. Unfortunately, here's the thing about these two, which like settle in because we're stuck with it for a while. They have really good chemistry, these two actors, but their banter is interminable. It's like bathing in queso. It's terrible.
Yeah, that sounds horrible.
I was going to say, that doesn't sound so bad, but I know what you mean.
Okay, but like Taco Bell queso, like it's not actually cheese. It's a processed cheese food.
Okay, fair.
Let's get on it.
Bye, Dave. Talk to you next week.
This is now a fanfic and queso podcast.
Gross.
So, later.
Parents, send the kids out of the room. It's about to get queso.
Later, Val tries to leave Dylan wanting more, but he is very intrigued in clip number 7.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you doing? You're running out on me?
Come on. Don't you think we've had enough punishment for one night?
Oh, you call this punishment? No, I'm just getting warmed up. Of course, if you'd rather split, we could go someplace else and both get warmed up.
On the first date? What kind of girl do you think I am?
I don't know. The kind who likes a little company.
So it's a slam bam, thank you, ma'am.
You looking for something more lasting?
Not a thing.
I want a man to ache for me.
Well, I'm aching.
Not yet, you're not.
It really, it's like soap opera writing, like daytime soap writing.
Yeah. And for him, like, Val, come on.
Right.
Have you seen yourself?
Seriously.
No. Do better right now.
And in case you forgot that Val is a bad girl, the next morning she lies straight to Cindy Walsh's face in clip number 8.
You were out pretty late last night.
Oh, yeah, sorry. After the debate, I drove down to the beach to kind of clear my head.
You know, you do have to be careful. The beach can be very dangerous at night.
That's why I stayed inside and locked the doors.
Have I told you how much I love having you here?
Yeah, but you can always tell me again.
I only clipped that because don't lie to Cindy, even if you think she's a square. Come on.
Well, and Cindy's not a complete moron.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point of going to the beach if you're just going to sit there with the windows rolled up? Whatever.
In your car.
Maybe that's a thing.
Who knows? At the Peach Pit, Dylan complains about the expense of a new air conditioner and calls the place a money pit. Like, fucking duh. Are you new? That's why your share was for sale to you in the first fucking place because Joey was trying to unload it. Steve's at the counter. Dylan greets him with moderate pleasantness. Steve tries to enthuse about Brandon's speech. We will get to it, unfortunately. But Dylan shuts him down. Steve can tell Dylan is in a mood and tries to bond with him as a fellow Kelly dumpy. But Dylan shuts that down, too, in clip number 9.
Steve. First of all, Kelly did not dump me. Second of all, it don't matter. I'm on the chase again already.
Dude, who's this?
Some chick I met last night.
Oh, yeah? Well, I met someone, too. Her name is Valerie. Very pretty. And get this. She lives at the Walsh's.
With the Walsh's?
You got a problem with that?
No.
Good. Keep it that way.
What?
How many times are characters going to tell each other to keep it that way? Like, it's literally every scene.
Yeah. As many times as they have to preface things with don't take this the wrong way or I probably shouldn't be telling you this because that's another running theme this season. Boo.
Sure is, Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Val returns to the pool hall in a much sexier slip dress. Her boobs are amazing. I just want to shoehorn in a tiny triumph here. Last night when I was clipping these pictures, I could not stop taking shots of Tiffany Thiessen because she looks so good in this dress. And one of them I posted and said, she's making me gay, and Mindy Kaling favorited it. So congratulations to me. That was my tiny triumph of the day.
People on the forums have posted a super mean interview that ran in Sassy with / about Tiffany back in the day, like pre her starting on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I distinctly remember, like I haven't reread the article, but my memory is that that's who said she had the best tit job in Hollywood. And then when I saw it, I was like, damn,
yeah,
that is a really good tit job. And especially compared to certain other breasticles that will be exposed relentlessly to over the next seasons.
Mm-hmm. It's the True only word Tory. For them, Dave, when you see them, that it's terrible.
I'm aware. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
It's just extremely evocative, that's all.
Considering the other people in question could have afforded, presumably, to pay for a top-of-the-line job, the one that she ended up with is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, one of the other things I tweeted was that we shouldn't rule out the possibility of switching out Mount Rushmore for Val's boobs times two, and I stand by that. Moving on.
I'm with it.
Dylan finally appears, flirting resumes, keeps asking who she is, but she refuses to tell him. She's not in the mood to shoot pool tonight. What could she have in mind, he wonders? I don't know, maybe fucking? Then fucking ends with one of the least natural modesty sheet moves ever, which I made a gif of. You can see it in the visual aid. We're supposed to think that she, like, was having sex with Dylan with a sheet tucked under her armpits. Like, that's not how it is.
While she was
work.
On top of him. And also, right. The PA misted her with the post-fucking sweat, mm-hmm. but not her hair.
Yep.
I mean, I know it was 20 years ago on a, like, broadcast network, but come on, guys. Like, little effort.
Yes. Like, they're both, he's sweaty too. They both are, other than her hair. And yet, the sheet is pulled up like it's a hospital gown. But anyway, apparently Val is so good at sex that even known Lothario / French girl impregnator Dylan is impressed by her surprising moves, and she's still telling him nothing about who she actually is. But later, Dylan is sleeping when she comes in to ask him to drive her home because she has a curfew. He grumbles about it, but does it. She smirks to herself as he heads off. And then she's directing him to the Walsh house. Dun, dun, dun. Clip 10.
Which he doesn't realize until they've literally pulled up in the front.
Right.
Okay. Like, are you still drunk? In which case, don't be driving, right. Dickhead.
Anyway, clip 10.
Something wrong?
You're Valerie.
Ah, good news travels fast.
Why do I get the feeling I'm being set up for something here?
Beats me.
You knew exactly who I was when you walked into that pool.
Sweet dreams, Dylan.
Maybe I did. Bye! Who cares?
Well, yeah. Also, I don't know. Like, maybe start way too late being a little skeptical of anyone who is that interested in you because you suck.
Yeah, even though you are broke now, she doesn't know that, so maybe you should be more on your guard. Like, did you literally learn nothing from this lesson, apparently? Anyway.
I guess. Looks good on you.
Yeah, that's the end of RB story. Moving on to the snooze of an A-line. A storyline, rather. Brandon rents her office, semicolon, a nation yawns. So David is finally working as threatened at the campus TV station, and maybe soon he'll figure out how to run the audio equipment. His assignment at the start of the episode is to capture this important exposition in clip 11.
With the special student body elections for president and vice president only 2 days away, campaigning on the CU campus has reached a fever pitch. Emotions are running high for the 12 sets of candidates.
No.
Almost twice as many as in recent years, mostly due to the bitter infighting within the Progressive Party. Now, with each minority group on campus running its own slate, it's highly unlikely that any one candidate will be able to win a clear mandate. Although we should have a better indication after tonight's Meet the Candidates debate at 8 o'clock. Perhaps the situation is best summed up by saying that no matter what happens this evening...
Peace! Sorry.
Not as sorry as we are.
12 sets of people want these jobs? Seriously? Like...
At bitter infighting?
It's so ridiculous.
I mean, they commit to it, though. Like, the bitterest infighter of all is, like, pulling such cartoony faces that he's reminding me of Gandhi on Clone High. It's completely insane.
It's true. Oh, God. Elsewhere, Brandon has recycled his glad-handing script from when he last ran for office at West Beverly back in season one, clip 12.
Hey, how you doing? Brandon Walsh. Damn glad to meet you.
Damn glad to meet you. Fuck off.
Jesus.
Now back to my oil refinery in Texas.
Yeehaw! Pew, pew, pew. I know, we're like rewriting a song that was a hit for Sinatra to, with yeah. Kennedy in the lyrics. Like, settle down.
Yeah.
Spam a lot.
Kelly rolls up to flirt with him. She wants to go for coffee, but Josh says that Brandon can't. The paper's editorial board has decided to back the Latinos Unidos ticket. Josh barely has time to complain that the paper he's been editing for 2 years doesn't even support him. Burn! Yeah. When Diaz from this very same Latinos Unidos appears to gloat and to offer a deal in clip 13.
So listen, if you drop out of the race and back Ramon and Alicia, I'll see to it that they find a spot for you in their cabinet.
No, Brandon and I are going down swinging.
Going down fast, I might add.
Well, that's what you get for running with the Chancellor's lackey. See ya.
Just because I was on the task force, now I'm the Chancellor's lackey.
Take it as a compliment.
Oh, if I have the patience for this, Brandon. Josh. All the mudslinging, the backroom deals, forget it.
Can we just go someplace where I can rehearse my speech?
This starts off the subplot line of this plot line, which is Brandon acts like he's been fucking conscripted to do this. Like, no one made you. Stop acting so put upon about all of it.
Also, it's, well, whatever. The mudslinging, the backroom deals, like, it's university, quote, politics.
Yeah.
No one cares.
Even the people don't care this much. Like, God. Plus, bitchiest ticket ever. Anyway, the place that they're going to go so that Josh can rehearse his speech is where else? The perfect spot, the Peach Pit. And he badly drives Brandon there. Also, it's a place that it makes perfect sense for Brandon to go, given everything that's been going on with Dylan, but whatever. Josh defends his shitty driving by saying he grew up in New York and only recently learned to drive, which is a thing, but not the way Josh describes it in clip 14.
It's no excuse. You almost killed that lady back on Rexford.
Yeah, well, I'd like to see how you'd do on the BMT during rush hour.
What's the BMT?
My point exactly.
What?
No. Really? What? Actually, the BMT was the subway line. It's what they used to call, I think, the red. No, that was the IRT. The orange line used to be called the BMT.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes more sense. I thought it was.
But it's never been a highway.
No. The only reason I know what the BMT is because of Subway sandwiches.
Right. But I thought he was saying, I assumed it was Brooklyn
way, it's,
something.
It's, we should say what it is for those who don't know.
What?
Brooklyn Manhattan Transfer.
Okay. But I was just, it actually makes more sense to me that you clarified that because I think his point is Brandon couldn't handle taking the subway, which is true.
Well, yeah, because he's extremely short and he'd probably feel very claustrophobic and freak out, but
still a dumb line.
Don't like, well, and don't compare or just say the BQE or better yet,
right.
Don't make it this whole like New York, LA buddy cop thing, especially since he's going to be smooshed like a tiny pea.
Right.
Spoiler.
And even if they're setting up like Josh is a shitty driver and he's going to end up dead. Spoiler. Like nothing in that accident is his fault from what we can see. So... Anyway. yes?
Subway should have named every single thing on their menu for things on the subway.
Yeah.
And that's another project for all you fanfic writers out there.
And then, recently, they could have done the cricket special.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, for that lady who released crickets on the... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm.
It's crazy cheap! Cheap.
They can make it with like that cricket flour. Make
okay,
a bun
so
out of
to
cricket
re-
flour.
To recap so far.
Yep.
Dylan McKay, biotech TV show traveler,
mm-hmm.
and Subway sandwiches, mm-hmm. Every sandwich, every item on the menu named after something in the Subway world.
And you can
New
combine
York City.
That in some way with our queso fanfic.
Well, it's like Chuck, right? The mm-hmm. Subway.
Right.
Super sponsors. The Dylan McKay biotech show.
Okay.
Like Chuck.
Moving on. There's a campaign poster up at the Peach Pit, which you can see in the visual aids. It is the worst campaign poster that ever there was. First of all, there's no reason for it to be at the Peach Pit for a campus election. Second, it just says Richland Walsh Independent and their photo without any other information or context for what it's for. It's terrible. I don't know why it makes me so mad, but it does.
And it also looks like one of those artsily posed photos in the engagement section.
Yes, it
does. Times.
Oh my God, it does.
Like, is there a wagon wheel behind you that got cut out? Because
yes. It's totally Richland Walsh vows photo. You're so right. Please go to previously.tv and see how right we are. Deshaun happens to be there, and Josh has plans for him in clip 15.
Hey, you want to give our campaign a boost? Why don't you go on over there and get your buddy Hardell to endorse us?
Can't do that to him.
The worst thing he can do is say no.
The worst thing he can do is call me an opportunistic weasel.
But you'll do it anyway, right?
Fine.
The paper not endorsing them, fine. I can see how that might matter to the, like, seven nerds who are even going to vote in this election. But an endorsement from an athlete? Like, who cares? Yeah. Anyway, Brandon Dooley goes over to Deshaun and very testily brings up the campaign, which is, by the way, how he does everything in this episode. Deshaun, who is not dumb, knows where this is going and pleasantly says he has to stay publicly neutral. Brandon gets it. God, this is so boring. Speaking of boring, the campaign is also affecting Jesse and Andrea's marriage now. Jesse comes home just in time to run into Andrea leaving with the baby. She's going to a meet the candidates night at school. Jesse mildly complains that she's going out on the first night he's had off in ages, which, by the way, if that's true, why is she going with the baby to this thing rather than leaving the baby with Jesse since he's going to be home so that he can look after her? Never explained. Anyway, bitching ensues in clip 16.
I'm going for Brandon.
Come on. You've already met Brandon. Besides, he's going to be crazed. He's not going to care whether you're there or not.
I care, okay?
Don't get upset.
I'm not upset. She's wet. Okay, I'm upset.
You want me to change her?
No, I can change her. It's just that at lunch, I have been on the campaign trail every day with Steve and Donna. And I know that Brandon appreciates it, don't get me wrong, but he... Jesse, he never asks for my opinion anymore. He never asks for my take on the issues. I used to be the editor. Now what I am is a mom.
I used to be the editor, like, at least the editor of the paper. I mean, honestly. Also, that was, like, over a year ago. That should not be your identity anymore.
Yeah. Also, what you should be upset about is your husband being out until all hours and then giving you guilt when you want to do something mm-hmm. for yourself. That's mm-hmm. A.
Yeah.
B, your take on the issues. That's one more take than Brandon himself has, because when we hear his speech, it will be completely free of specifics. But mm-hmm. your take on the issues, Andrea, is that you consistently let yourself be bullied by dudes when it really counts, and you just go along and then you sulk about it. Like, why would he ask you for your opinion when he can just talk you out of it anyway?
Yep. Totally. It's, and also,
in short, shut up, Zuckerman Vasquez household, again, forever.
Plus, I would love to know what they think is, like, even an issue that student government is going to have any say over that's going to matter to any of the actual students. Like, isn't it all just planning dances and stuff? I mean, I know that's high school, but, like, seriously, who, like, none of this is going to matter to anybody ever at all. Like, it's all just theater. And
yeah, I don't,
treating this like it's a real election is insulting to the viewer who has to know, like, oh, this is not really a thing.
No, it's really not. I mean, wouldn't even have known where or how to vote
mm-hmm.
in student elections at university.
Yeah.
Occasionally they would announce who won. I never knew the people personally. This was reserved for people like Ted Cruz. And that's what you get. Those are the people that run your student government.
Oh, God. So Andrea shows up at this event without the baby. So I guess Jesse did figure some shit out. But with another billowy white top, which, like, it's bad enough the tops have to be billowy, but white is really cruel. She looks like a sail. And scans the crowd for her old crush. They're ready to start, but Josh isn't there because his shitty car broke down. Brandon doesn't have any remarks prepared and shrugs off Andrea's offer to help him write something in the 1 second before this thing is going to start. But at least he's consistent as he tells her pissily that he's never going to run for office again. And then one cut later, the forum has descended into chaos as the moderator calls for order and Brandon takes the podium on behalf of the ticket, looking all put upon / like the cock he is. You can see it in the visual aids. And I guess this speech is supposed to make us understand that Brandon is a natural at politics, but clip 17.
I know that Josh would have wanted to be here,
but he's with his car. It broke down. On the freeway. In rush hour traffic.
That's not a joke. Why are people laughing?
No. Also, it's 8 o'clock now.
Right.
Whatever. Shut up, dumb. Brandon.
Like, at least, anyway, who cares? So, there. Anyway, there's more in clip 18.
But he's the lucky one. He hasn't had to sit here for the last 45 minutes wasting his time like the rest of us. Listening to a lot of people say nothing about nothing.
Well, that's changed.
Let's face it, guys, no one's talking about the issues here. No one's willing to stand up and say that no matter what our differences are, the one thing we all have in common is this incredible human laboratory called California University. And unless we make a commitment amongst ourselves to listen to each other, to learn from each other, to put our own personal agendas aside, this school is not going to survive. That's what I believe, and that's what the Independent Party stands for. Thank you.
What?
Independent is not a party.
He said nothing.
He said nothing. That was a Sarah Palin.
He will get to do nothing. And he sounded like a total, he sounded completely like beleaguered and angry about even having to be there. Like,
yeah.
Why on earth would you? I mean, you know who knew how to do this was election. Remember when
yes.
Tammy's like, we won't have to do these stupid fucking elections anymore. And then there was a beat and then everyone's like, fuck yeah. I mean, yes, Tammy forever, obviously.
Totally.
Shut up, Brandon.
Yeah, that was like a Sarah Palin slash beauty pageant contestant answer that's like, it's a lot of words. It sounds like it has meaning. It doesn't, actually. Like, well, we just need to commit to listen to each other. Okay, that's the bare minimum of anything anyone could say about anything. Like, if no one's talking about the issues, Brandon, why don't you name some? Why don't you recycle some of the ones you heard about last year, like the Chicano Pup Cultural Project or Daycare for Single Mothers? Like,
or
something.
Letting people drink at prom or telling Hispanic ladies how to live or
yes.
you know any
yes.
other of the issues of racism, classism, and domestic violence that you managed to solve mm-hmm. while you were in high school.
Yeah,
I think it would have been funny if somebody in crowd during all that speech just went nah.
But the thing that I want to emphasize the most is that he refers to that's what the Independent Party stands for. Like, no, you're either in a party or you're independent. There's no Independent Party. That's not a thing by definition. God. Anyway, Josh enters toward the end of this and is very happy with how Brandon handled himself. And the next morning at the Walsh house, Jim learns that he has a rival for the presidency of Brandon's fan club in clip 19.
You should have seen your son last night. It was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
What Josh is neglecting to tell you, Dad, is that his car broke down and he hardly saw any of it.
I saw enough to know that we picked up hundreds of votes last night.
You believe this is what
hundreds.
They call spin control?
What is this, captioning for the hard of hearing?
I'm just trying to maintain some little bit of credibility here, that's all.
You know, this false modesty routine isn't fooling anyone, Walsh.
Because it's not
fucking
false.
Men.
And it's not modesty either, like... The idea of Brandon being modest is hilarious and really
yeah.
underscores the fact that Josh doesn't really know him at all. But anyway.
Yeah.
Josh, please continue. Well, you can in clip 20.
You want to win this as much as I do.
Wait a minute. Correct me if I'm wrong. You asked me to run with you. Isn't that how it worked?
Yeah. And you could have said no.
See what I'm up against?
Thank you.
As far as I can tell, you two definitely deserve each other.
Correct me if I'm wrong is another stock phrase this season. It will come up again before this very episode is over, in fact. Like, guys, try to edit each other's work, help each other. I know it's too late now because this was 1994, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah, really.
So at school, ugh, Kelly's in another terrible outfit. I'm not going to try and describe it. Okay, I will. It's ruffled and ruched and gathered, and it's cropped, and it's white, and it's bad. It's in the visual aids. Josh catches up to Kelly and Brandon at the good old student union with news. Someone we've never heard of thinks the independent ticket should flip and put Brandon up top. When Kelly goes to the coffee bar, she runs into a resentful Andrea in clip 21.
Oh.
What are you doing over here? We're sitting over there. Why don't you come join us?
I wouldn't want to interrupt their strategy session.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. Last night, Brandon was so busy being Mr. Candidate that he didn't even take a second to ask how I was doing.
Because no one cares.
And then when I tried to talk to him about some of the things that he could do to get out the vote, he just walked away.
You know what I think? I think you should stop being so neurotic and just go over and talk to him.
Also, why would he ask you how you're doing? Like, he was about to go on stage in a second. Like, he could have talked to you after. That's a separate issue. But, I mean, how needy are you? Get this from your husband. That's what he's for.
Well, and I also love that Kelly's face is just like, what now? Andrea's doing, like, doing the duck face of doom. Like,
yep,
whatever, Andrea. Shut yes up. Like, Andrea's, be glad he doesn't care. Go read a book.
She's sitting at the bar inventing vague booking. Anyway, they see that guy, Alex Diaz, coming over from Latinos Unidos. Andrea proves she would be useful to the campaign by knowing everything about him, including that he's on the paper and also that he is, according to her, a creep. But he's not. He's the best, as we hear in clip 22.
What do you got there, Alex? Concession speech?
Actually, Josh, it's something you wrote. I thought you and Walsh ought to take a look at it. Would you like one, sir?
What is it?
What are you, crazy, Alex? I never took a test for Deshaun Hardell.
Well, I only know what I read in the newspaper.
No, you didn't read it in the paper because it was never printed.
And why is that, Josh?
Because it wasn't true.
Wasn't true or wasn't in your best interest to publish? I mean, after all, why stir things up when you can cut a deal with the Chancellor's fair-haired boy?
And what deal would you be talking about, Alex?
Where did you get this?
A little birdie gave it to me.
What do you want from me, Alex?
There is a student senate meeting tonight, and this is going to be the first item under new business unless you drop out of the race.
No, I'm not taking our names off the ballot.
Well, and my hunch is you are going to end up being disqualified. And you are going to end up being thrown out of school.
Look.
No, you look. The Senate convenes in 4 hours. I strongly suggest you think it over.
Creep.
Take it easy, Segovia.
Why does this document exist? I mean, I know computer technology was different then, but like, you could still delete stuff. Also, Josh wouldn't have, would, like, he was working on this muckraking on this paper's computers. Also, this thing would still be around from 6 months ago.
And did he label his little floppy disk like Walsh profile colon muckraking version?
Yes. Also, he, like, instead of all of this just being in notes, he actually wrote a story and then was like, nah, like, none of this is how any of this works. But anyway.
Yeah. Also, the student senate doesn't care. Like, they want to get done with the shit they have to get done and go drink. Come on.
Yeah. But after a commercial, Andrea weighs in clip 23.
Great.
Guys, after rereading this article, it's not as bad as I thought. I mean, it's all just hearsay and conjecture.
Well, that's why I never ran
you
it.
You shouldn't have written it in the first place.
Should have, would have, could
have. Shut up, Brandon.
What do you want me to say? There were a ton of rumors floating around school about how the jocks were getting all kinds of perks. I went after the story.
Well, once you found out the story wasn't true, couldn't you have hit the delete button on your computer?
Should have, would have, could have.
You know, Josh, the day I agreed to be your running mate's the day I should have had my head examined.
Should have, would have, could have.
Will you guys keep your voices down? You have a profile on this campus now. People are watching you. So what are you gonna do?
No, they're not.
Doesn't matter what we do. The campaign will be dead in the water.
Why?
Because by the time the polls open, they'll have reprints of this thing plastered all over the place.
But none of it's true, Josh.
Yeah, well, the votes will be counted by the time we set the record straight.
Not necessarily. What if we put out a flyer of our own refuting the article point by point?
It'll be their word against ours.
You're missing the point, Josh.
What we say on the flyers that this is just another example of the slimy politics that goes on here every election. And that's exactly why California University needs a new crop of independent student leaders who won't tolerate politics as usual anymore.
No one cares. No one cares. Also, what is this flyer going to say? Josh said, I took a test for Deshaun. I didn't. Like that, it is his word against theirs. There's no evidence on either side of either. So obviously the more scandalous story is the one that's going to carry the day.
And actually, like, Josh shouldn't have been writing about Brandon Walsh if he knew he was going to try to run for office with Brandon Walsh. Like, Josh has been kind of a sketchburger from the beginning. Yeah. Like, fortunately, sing it with me if you know the words. No one cares. Oh, my God, I hate the storyline so much.
Yes, Dave.
Sorry, Sarah, did you just say somebody was a sketchburger?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
All right, thank you. Going to add that to the Sarah D. Bunting lexicon of mirth and joy.
That is one kind of Subway sandwich at the All Subway Subway.
See, everybody's getting into the spirit here. Come on, guys. Let's make this show happen.
Okay.
It's a sketch burger.
So Josh is all about Andrea's quote idea, unquote, but Brandon shuts it down cold, declaring that they're going to drop out of the race. Everyone else thinks he's being a baby for caving like this, but Brandon thinks that if they don't bury the story, evidence will probably come out about other people at school who did bend rules for Deshaun and lose him his scholarship. By the way, this is based on nothing either other than Corey, like, letting him do a take-home once, I think. Anyway, Josh suggests just asking Deshaun about this, but Brandon doesn't even want to do that. Josh says that if Deshaun isn't clean, they can drop out. Brandon won't even agree to that. Donna offers to talk to Deshaun in his place. So then Andrea later finds Kelly on a payphone at the student union instead of at a meeting, but shit's popping off in clip 24.
The meeting has already started. Nobody can find Donna or Deshaun, and Brandon is a nervous wreck and he won't go inside. Well, where's Josh? He's in the meeting. I'm gonna go back to the gym and look for Donna. Will you do me a favor and go upstairs and see if you can't say something to him?
I'll see what I can do.
Brandon is doing so much to make himself look guilty for something he didn't actually do. He's not even going to walk into the room where this meeting is happening. Good God.
Yeah, he's just pacing around creating like hurricane force winds with his giant pants. Mm-hmm. And P.S., take your Pepto now, because what Andrea does do is slather his taint with her saliva again.
Uh-huh. Let's hear that in clip 25.
No, let's not.
I don't have the stomach for this.
Take two Pepto-Bismol to call me in the morning.
Shouldn't you be in daycare or something?
Yes, I should, but instead I have to come up here and babysit Josh, which Lynn's running mate.
How I let that guy talk me into this is beyond me.
Brandon, I love you, but shut up, okay? Nobody
she
put
had
a
us.
Gun to your head. Instead of playing the poor, innocent victim, can't you accept the fact that you're a born leader with the brain and intellect to make a difference in this world?
And she lost us.
I was there, standing right next to you, when you put everything on the line to shut down West Beverly so that Donna could graduate with the rest of our class.
Andrea, that was high school.
It was the exact same thing. Don't you see? A friend was in trouble and you were there. No matter what goes on in there, no matter what they say about you, you have nothing to be ashamed of.
Not true.
So you want to go in?
I thought you'd never ask.
It was the exact same thing. No one fucking cared about that shit either.
Nope.
Ugh.
Also, this is not your job anymore, Andrea. Like, he has a new girlfriend. Make her do this shit.
Seriously.
Anyway. They walk in just as Alex is stem winding in clip 26.
Brandon Walsh is part of a plan to process Deshaun Hardell through a system of academic apartheid. And make no mistake about it, it's a very profitable system. But how profitable is it going to be for Deshaun when he leaves CU without a real education? And why is it that these disposable athletes are always young men of color, while their tutors are always white boys
who just happened to be appointed by the chancellor to the National Task Force on Education.
Wait a minute, I don't understand what me being on the...
You're out of order!
And you're out of line.
Is this Deshaun entering?
Sorry for interrupting everybody, but my name is Deshaun Hardell, and everything you're accusing Brandon of might have been true. Brandon was a different kind of person. Fortunately for me, he is who he is. So I had no choice but to crack open the books. And for that, I'll always be grateful. Because I've been able to maintain my academic eligibility without any help from anyone but myself. And for those of you who don't think I have the God-given intelligence to go to school here, I just have to say, no matter what you think your political agenda is, you're nothing but a racist.
Mic drop eyebrow. Tampon commercial flute for some reason.
Yeah, Alex really overplayed his hand with this one. I mean, Deshaun is the best.
Yeah. Well, and also, as usual with this issue, I wish they had, like, I mean, I'm glad they didn't because they're not qualified to do it, but it's really too bad that this issue didn't get dug into more because Cress Williams could have carried it.
Oh,
but
yeah,
it has
he
to be about Brandon and how great Brandon is about fixing racist policies and systems. Blah.
And Brandon was the reason that Deshaun had to be a better student because Brandon wouldn't help him cheat. Like, I love Deshaun, but I don't love it when they use him to, you know, prop up these dumb white boners and make them feel better about themselves anyway.
Exactly. Especially when I'm willing to bet Deshaun is much more pleasant and polite to his parents, with whom he still lives, than the little fuck knuckle that we're about to hear in clip 27.
Yeah.
Anywhere yet?
Dad, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't you come over here 20 minutes ago and ask me that exact same question? And didn't I at that time explain to you that Kelly and Steve said it would be hours before all the ballots were counted?
Just let me know if they call.
He will, honey. He will.
I will. Bye-bye.
I mean, and why are Kelly and Steve counting the votes?
Yeah, that's sketch.
Yeah, big time sketch.
What happened before that scene after the big Senate meeting was he sees that Kelly and Brandon have come out. We find out that Alicia, the Latino Unidos candidate, fired Alex as her campaign manager, so he's in disgrace, I guess, question mark. And then
no one cares.
That's when he sees Claire with Donna, and Claire tells him that she is the new roommate. Har har. Back to the peach pit. Andrea and Brandon are friends again. Oh, thank God, I was so worried. Deshaun says he dragged the whole basketball team to the polls to vote for Josh and Brandon, so I guess his neutrality is over. Josh and Brandon then sneak out the back, mostly to escape Jim's nudging. Josh suggests killing time until they get the results by taking a drive, but Brandon's not
as it were.
Brandon's not about getting back in Josh's car. Before Josh leaves, Brandon gets pensive in clip 28.
Hey, Josh.
What?
What are we going to do if we actually win this thing?
What every politician does. Make it up as we go along.
Why did you want this job if you didn't have policy ideas, even in the limited lane that they are even going to give you? What was the point of all this?
Oh, God. To win. Same as Trump.
Sure. And then Brandon is walking back into the peach pit when... Clip 29.
Wow, that music is so from the 1970s, you know, hour-long cop drama Rockford Files or something. Wow.
Yeah.
Or like, so you're getting your period. Like, guys, it's not an appropriate trill for someone. Oh, and P.S., that car and the car that they tow away in the next scene as a burning hulk, totally different cars.
Are they? I didn't even notice that.
One has two doors, one has four doors.
Wow. Amazing. So yeah, that was Josh backing out of the parking lot and getting T-boned by a garbage truck or something. So since it hit on the driver's side, he is dead. Oh, also it caught fire, as Sarah said. Callie stupidly asks if Brandon is okay. It's such a stupid question he doesn't bother to answer. And then clip 30.
We finished counting the votes. You won.
The sigh. You didn't want to do any of this. Why did you do it? You suck. We hate you.
But at least the storyline's over. Just kidding.
I know. But let's wrap it up with the MVP of the episode. I don't know, Claire. the inflatable man doll. It's hard. Everyone's kind of a dick in this one.
I guess Deshaun. I hate that he was made a prop for this, but I don't know. He's still Deshaun. There's yet another shot composition in which, like, he's already a foot taller than Jace Priestley, but it made him look even taller. Like, I know they're doing it on purpose, and I don't care. I am here for it. Yay, Deshaun.
Yeah. Least valuable player, Brandon.
Sorry.
That was my fault, Brandon.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'm really frustrated by Andrea. Like, whatever. I hate how horribly she's always been undercut, and it just keeps getting worse as time goes on, but I guess it's not really her fault.
Yeah.
And also, Brandon's horrible, so Brandon.
Yeah, the other thing about Andrea, and we'll get into this more in the next one, in the next episode too, is that apparently the resolution to her whole thing with the daycare is now she just brings the baby everywhere. Like, there is not a scene that she's in that the baby's not almost every time. There's a couple in this episode, but in the next one, like, she's taking it to class in a stroller. She's, like, taking it into a Senate meeting. She's taking it to a funeral. I should say her. Taking her to a funeral. Like, she,
I'm good with it. That's fine.
In this episode, she's like holding her in a snuggly when she goes to vote. Like, you, this is not the solution of what you do when you have a baby. Like, you have to continue living your life. The baby doesn't get to go everywhere when you're in class. I'm sure the other students are already lodging complaints with the prof that you're doing this. Anyway, I hear what you're saying about Andrea. Yes, Dave.
I've got choices.
Uh-huh.
Most valuable player is Dylan McKay's biotech company, obviously. And the least valuable player is Quiznos. Quiznos, if you're comfortable with non-Subway food product nomenclature, hey, go ahead. It's your life.
Okay. Let's wrap it up with the Moo Moo Parker Challenge. 5 ways from this episode that Brandon might have ended up dead. Oh, God, if only he had been in that car. Maybe he would have caught on fire and ended our torment. That's one.
Lit on fire by the fiery gaze of Alex Diaz.
Accidentally sat upon by the very tall Deshaun Hardell. Yes, Dave?
Could have been subject to the same wizard that turned a 4-door car into a 2-door car and just became a duoplegic. Or whatever.
Gust of wind inflates his massive khakis and sends him sailing into the middle of the 5 to be smooshed by a garbage truck himself.
That makes 5.
And that's all for us this time. And again, with this next time, Brandon grieves, Kelly gossips, and Donna pops a Lady Van Bone for Casper Van Dien. You'll be popping a Malox to get through our visual aids, which you can find on our website at previously.tv for this and all the other episodes of Again With This. You can also follow us on Twitter at previously.tv. I'm the Chancellor's lackey, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. Tara Ariano wants a follower to ache for her, and she's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And David T. Cole is a conversation we're prepared to have on Instagram at Glark. Talk to you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoonie.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.